Hey, welcome to the Mostly Skateboarding Podcast. I'm your host, Templeton Elliott, and I'm joined this week by Patrick Kagongo and Jason from Frozen and Carbonite to talk about Anti-Hero's UK trip, but first, trade talk. As the year switched over, a lot of old contracts ran out and new contracts got signed. Now we're seeing how those team changes are shaking out. Patrick, what team news is shining brightest to you?
Hialti and AD going over to Hardbody for a couple reasons why. First of all, Antonio Dural, a great interview with him in Gencom very recently where he gives some insight as to why his career has been how it is. TLDR, got into cars, was kind of drinking too much, has chilled out on drinking, stopped drinking, started taking mushrooms, meditating, focusing more on skating. And honestly, I just never liked him on Skate Mental, and it kind of felt like a weird move after numbers because he was arguably one of the best guys on the team. Hialti, I think, this is an interesting leap because he's been doing Dancer on the side. I believe it was Pocket that did one of their Followed series where he showed his little workshop, and I think Dancer are super, super cool. And it's awesome when an established pro like him takes a leap of faith on a new project. Because Hardbody has kind of been in the background and very, very cool. And I saw some folks on the Slap message board dismissing them as New York City cool bullshit. But that's what I'm all about.
sells.
It does sell because it's cool. But it seems like now Hardbody it's crystallizing. It's becoming a real brand. And that's really, really dope. But getting those two together, those are a lot of people's favorite skateboarders in some way or another. So the two of them getting on at the same time, I'm going to throw this to Jason real quick. What's the world equivalent of this? Two awesome skaters getting on and you're just like, it's on. It's all like, this is for real.
I guess it was like the World Industries. I guess it was when Gino and Kai got on 101 in like 94 or whatever, that type of shit. But yeah, Hardbody's been around for a minute. Like, I think they've been making boards for like 5 or 6 years. But I mean, this is definitely a power move.
It's a move into like serious board brand.
Yeah. It was kind of a Quarter Snacks adjacent project. But yeah, now it's a serious board brand. A couple heavy hitters. Actually, I was looking at their website. First of all, website is really cool. Designed by Peter from Bronze.
Killer website.
Yeah.
Nobody's doing them like that anymore.
Definitely not, man. Yeah, websites are back.
Hell yeah. Peter's actually, we're connected on LinkedIn, and he's super cool. And he's been doing a bunch of commercial work. So if you're looking for somebody to make a hype-looking website that is also mobile-friendly and accessible, holler at your boy Peter.
And I saw on the website that Hialti's board has wheel wells. I don't know if this is a thing or a trend. Trendwatch 2024 wheel wells, but his pro model has wheel wells, if you're in that sort of thing.
This is going to be really terrible, but you remember, I think it was Ryan Metz, the Brooklyn-based tattoo artist who did a bunch of boards for Polar. He did the one with the police car. I gave that board away. I donated it because a friend of mine was going to Uganda and Ethiopia, and he says, like, I know you got some boards. Could you just throw me whatever you got? Doesn't matter what the condition was. And to me, it's like, well, do I want something that's going to just sit here as a wall hanger? Or do I want to give it to the kids, the cousins back home, so to speak? So, yeah, I don't regret it. Anyway, what else is popping? Because it feels like right now is, you know, because Jason, you had pointed out in the group chat that free agency has started or the trade window has started for the NFL. And, you know, we're coming into playoff season for the NBA. You know, March Madness is going to be happening soon. So there's going to be a lot of people who are thinking about their next move. Either they're seniors or they want to declare early for the draft. Whereas with skating, it's very much free-for-all, and there's not too many rules except if you are bound by a contract. So I think a question to float to you guys is, does skateboarding need a more organized way of moving a sponsored skater from one brand to another? Or do you kind of like the combination of Slap rumor mill, homies at the shop, somebody who works at a wood shop saying, like, I saw such and such's board the other day, or this person's shoe is definitely coming out, or like homie of a homie of a homie showed me a sketch of a shoe that's coming out.
I like the chaos.
Yeah, I like the chaos, press release by Instagram, Slap rumor mill, all that kind of shit. But yeah, skateboarding, skaters hate rules in any type of organization, so there's no real like organizing body like the NFL to say, all right, here's a free agent period, starts now, you can sign, blah, blah, blah. Just like, well, as soon as your contract runs out, whatever, or your company goes out of business or your board sponsor goes out of business, like For example, the recent dwindle refugees, I think, as Templeton noted in the show notes. I mean, they've been seriously busy. Like TJ Rogers went over to Skate Mafia. Part will have dropped by the time this podcast goes live. Who else? John DiLorenzo went to Jacuzzi Unlimited, which kind of makes sense. Yuri Facchini went over to Deathwish, as you might have seen in their latest video. Street 540 Kid, Tyson Bauerbank went over to 2 Cent, whatever that is. Is that?
It's Ryan DeCenzo's brand.
Yeah, exactly. Oh.
Okay.
And maybe.
I mean, Doomed from the Start is kind of how I see that one, you know? Like,
wow.
Those guys are great skaters, but I don't think that they're brand leaders. You know, like, some people got it, some people don't, as far as like being a brand leader. You know, we saw it with Numbers. Like, all those dudes were fucking, you know, some of the best on whatever team they came from, and they didn't have it to be a brand. And, you know, I don't think that DeCenzo is that dude.
Unless he is.
Yeah, I mean, DeCenzo, almost pretty legendary skater. Like, shout out to him for jumping down stuff, like pushing 40. But yeah, to be a brand lead, you got to have some type of that je ne sais quoi.
Right. Like, Jason, you're absolutely right. It's a combination of having a willingness to take risks, a basic head for business, like just being willing and able to run a company and do all the boring stuff, like opening up accounts, doing payroll.
I mean, you can hire people for that, but I think that what you really need is a vision, a creative vision. Like, you know, can you tell the brand narrative? And I just, like, I don't think that Ryan DeCenzo is someone who has a personal brand narrative that is easily translatable into a board.
Which then begs the question, do we need another skateboard company or companies?
I mean, need? No, but I'm happy for there to be more people trying, you know, like throw anything against the wall and see what sticks. I'm excited for new brands. I'm excited to see what Hardbody does. Tory Pudwell is on some random ass shoe company, P448 now.
It's hard to tell. It's hard to glean much information from the Instagram. It seems to be like kind of a like sustainable surf, like environmentalism type vibe.
It seems like a very like Kariuma like.
Yeah, something along those lines. And also, speaking of random shoe brands, Ryan Scheckler is on Mark Wahlberg's shoe and sportswear brand, Municipal. Like, Mark Wahlberg's doing too much. That guy does way too much. He should just chill. Like, what all does he do? Like, he does movies. He has, like, the burgers. He does this thing. He has the Jesus app. Have you guys gotten ads for his Jesus app?
Yes, I have.
I do every once in a while get an ad for Jackson, the skate chain company that Scheckler rides for.
That's a power move. Scheckler looks good with gold. Like,
yeah, cool. I'm a big fan of the gold chains and whatnot.
Yo,
I mean, they're sponsoring the right guys. You know, they got P-Rod, they got Scheckler.
Jackson, yeah, just send a box.
Send a heavy box.
Heavy box. But Jason, to your point about Mark Wahlberg, formerly known as Marky Mark, who took a walk on the wild side. He's a very, very devout Christian. He wakes up every morning at 4 o'clock in the morning. He prays heavy. And Scheckler, in addition to getting sober, also became a born-again Christian. So I think there's probably...
There's some synergy there, as they say.
Yeah, they got the JC connection, which is all well and good. But I guess this goes back to my question of, do we need another shoe company? And it's also selling the kind of shoes, like, what's the purpose of these shoes? That, you know, a regular pair of Nikes or Adidas's, or, you know, if we're thinking core skate brands, you know, something from Soltech or a pair of Vans couldn't necessarily do. You know, the P448s kind of look like, you know what they look like? They look like Instagram shoes. You know those random ads for shoe companies you've never, ever, ever heard of?
Oh, yeah. Like, I get those all the time.
Who would rock this? Like, I would rather somebody go and wear the same tired Sambas or Stan Smiths or Chucks or some Vans Old Schools or, heaven forbid, some disgusting, like, dirty Air Force Ones than roll the dice on these shoe companies that I've never even seen in stores. Like, if you're not a Nordstrom, where are you?
Yeah, of the two, the P448, which, terrible name, those looked a lot better to me than the Municipals, which really looked generic, you know, like that's some Bobo ass looking shit. So not excited about those team changes for Scheckler and Torrey, although Torrey now having a shoe sponsor is a good thing. Probably the one that I'm most excited about is Austin Gillette's new pro for Racivet.
Sorry.
Just got to get that one in there.
So it is a board company, yeah?
It is, yeah.
Okay. What the hell happened? So he's got Racivet, he's got Globe. All right. Let's see what happens. Let's see what happens. Also looking at
I think the checks are probably hitting on both accounts there.
Hey, you know what? We're all grown folks with responsibilities and bills. So respect anybody who's chasing that check, because you can't be young forever. What about TJ Rogers going to Skate Mafia? First of all, shout out to Skate Mafia for maintaining a presence and just holding it down in San Diego. Like, I think there would have been a time many years ago where I would have laughed at the idea of Skate Mafia, but I love their shit. I love their videos.
Yeah, I mean, they've been doing their thing and, you know, sticking to their guns for like 15 or so years or more. And now forget San Diego, now they're global. Like, they got Toronto, they got Barcelona with Pierre Sarmiento, you know, they're killing. Plus, I love the Drake graphic, the Views from the Six graphic that TJ Rogers has on his first Skate Mafia Pro Mouth. Could not be more in my wheelhouse. I really fuck with that graphic. Might have to get one for the wall.
Also, Brandon Turner. The fact that they are giving us Brandon Turner footy on a routine basis in the 21st century, my goodness. Like, if there's an award for brand that's doing the most for the culture, I think it should go to Skate Mafia. Shout out to San Diego. Worldwide.
So I've got a question. TJ Rogers going to Skate Mafia, how does that affect TJ Rogers' status? He's gone from blind to Skate Mafia. Is that a lateral move? Is it an upgrade?
Well, Dwindle was Dwindle. I mean, they were like a second tier, I think, operation, like right below your Primitives and your Aprils and your Girls. But I think it's like maybe one level down. But seeing as your other sponsor went out of business, like, I think it's sick. Like,
see, I think that it's a status upgrade. I think because I think the blind that TJ Rogers rode for was a shell of its former self, and, you know, kind of not quite a joke, but it was like, it wasn't a high status brand, where I think that Skate Mafia, it doesn't have any of that Dwindle selling at the wrong places kind of stink on it. You know, it's like a legit street level brand. So I think that it's a move up for TJ Rogers.
Yeah, you'd say that. Who else was on blind anyway? Like that kid from Florida, the contest skater.
Which one? That doesn't narrow it down at all.
The kid, oh my God, dude, I can't remember. But also on Dwindle, as far as Almost goes, there's still a bunch of free agents from the Almost refugee camp that are still looking for board sponsors, like mostly the Euros, like Fran Molina, Ripper, Mikel Vidal, and Thierry Gormit, who you might know from the Elas production. So as far as I can tell, they're just like on Adidas and Elas or whatever. So
what about Max Geronzi?
Yeah, Max, I couldn't figure it out. Like, he might do his own thing called like 11 or something like that. I don't know. I can't figure out if that's a board company or just like a crew or some shit. But yeah, he was pro for Almost. So
he seems like the one kind of with the most juice. Like, he was kind of the leader of that 11th of the month video series that was on Thrasher and
The Grons gang.
Yeah.
He has a ton of, like, I think he has like 50,000 followers or something like that.
Dang,
which is a lot for, like, you know, like for a Euro pro Almost.
So you guys bring up a really interesting question then, you know, in terms of the nuts and bolts day to day, what happens when something like what happened with Dwindle happens? You're sponsored, like, are you just living off boxes? Are you hoping that other companies are checking you out? Are homies flowing you boxes? I mean, what the hell happens? You know, you wake up and realize, like, not only am I not getting a check, I'm not getting boards.
Yeah, I would imagine that all these guys are connected enough that getting boards is not a problem, you know, like local shop, or, you know, they've been in the system long enough that they know somebody at some board brand or some distribution that can keep them riding. I think it's probably really tough to get a sponsor, you know, that's like, well, all of a sudden now there's like 20 people looking for a board sponsor. So, you know, the brands are in a power position there, and they'd be like, well, you know, I can only pay you half of what you were making before or whatever. So I think it's tough out there. And the longer you're without a board sponsor, I would imagine the harder it is to get one.
And at what point, like, a lot of folks have been able to maintain as sponsored skaters because they're on a good shoe sponsor. By good, I mean somebody who is paying them enough money and sending them around the world, or at least just paying for them to travel so that they can say, okay, I can ride this out for a little while because I'm always going to have, like, I got a stack of boards on ice, getting flowed here and there. I'm getting a box from this company, a box from that company every now and again. But, you know, it goes back to this. I watched this great interview with the former Greek Minister of Finance, Yanis Varoufakis, and he was talking about one of the challenges that a lot of young people have, I guess people in general, because he teaches economics as well. He was talking about how a lot of young people are really spending so much of their time trying to craft the ideal identity for themselves on social media that they're not actually getting to really be themselves. They're constantly focused on maintaining a brand, and that it creates this enormous amount of pressure that doesn't even really pay the bills in the grand scheme of things. You know, he talks about it from a job prospect perspective. And, you know, you think about skateboarders, there's a lot more pressure now as a skater to have an online presence, an online brand, an online identity. And the thing is, back to Jason's earlier point, there are no rules in skateboarding. And yet there's this unwritten rule that if you got internet clout, that's going to be something that really helps you. But not everybody has the time to do that. Not everybody wants to do that. Not everybody is going to be able to do that. So what do you do then for people who's like, I don't know, I post random shit and memes on Instagram. I don't post skating. I skate. I do this stuff, you know, in the middle of the night when I'm up.
Being a pro skater is a job, you know, like you got to get in front of people who are, you know, the board buying public. And if you're not interested in doing that, then, you know, you're not as valuable to a brand, you know, like that's the whole purpose of this shit, is to make money. So if you're not a useful tool for the brands to use and make money from, you know, it's going to be hard for you to find a board sponsor. Because they're looking for a beneficial relationship. And if you can't bring much to the table, then I'm sorry, man.
Yeah, like this whole, you know, everyone is their own brand, coming out with solo video parts thing. I don't know, like, it, you know, this is like an old man type of statement, but like, seems like it was better back in the day when, like, if someone was connected to a brand like Plan B, it's like, that was their identity. You know what I mean? Like, I forgot where I first heard this, but like a shoe team, shoe brand will give you the money, but a board brand might not give you as much money, but that's like your identity, you know, as a person, as a skateboarder. Like, you can just say, and we'll talk about Anti-Hero in a little bit, but you can just say like Anti-Hero. If you're on Anti-Hero, that says something about who you are. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Bear told that to me a long time ago. And I think that still rings true.
Yeah, that's probably where I got that from.
That's a brilliant quote. Thank you for sharing that, Jason. But yeah, you know, the you know, back to the question of, like, I guess we'll just call them trades, you know, moving sponsors, changing sponsors. You know, we often bring up the example of Chris Markovic. Well, not we, but, you know, the example of Chris Markovic, for example, who's been on a million board sponsors. But there was a sweet spot where it seemed like he made the right leaps for about 5 years in the 1990s. At what point does it become detrimental to your career to move brands or start brands, stop brands so frequently? Like, is there anybody who has successfully upgraded, and then hit the peak and then had a nice career path and then bowed out, retired, whatever?
Bowed out, retired.
Like, who's had a Markovic perfect... is such an interesting example, just because he's switched up so often and has a number of board brands under his belt. You know, like, usually if it's like, you know, I started this brand, or like, I'm the figurehead of this brand, you should stay there for a decent amount of time, or else it looks disingenuous. You know, like, maybe you weren't quite as invested in the brand as it was presented to be or something. So I think that the more hopping you do later in your career, the more like flighty you look. I think maybe Austin Gillette kind of had did some brand hopping, you know, left Habitat when that crumbled, kind of was in the wind a lot, ended up on Weekend, and then left Weekend to go to Habitat, and then left Habitat again to go to Rasvet. Maybe there was something else, Is there anything else in there?
Don't think so.
No.
Has anybody ever had like a nonstop cool career? I mean, I think Gino got a huge upgrade going from Black Label to 101. No disrespect to Black Label, but like 101, I think are they the coolest brand of all time?
You can make an argument.
Definitely top five.
You can certainly make an argument.
And then from 101 to chocolate to FA. Oh, excuse me, hockey. He's had a really cool run, but that's rare. That's super, super rare. And then also like back to Chris Markovich, I seem to remember that color, like there was some funny business with the money behind the scenes. And that's one of the reasons why, I mean, the color video is a phenomenal early to mid 90s video. And then just bong, they were there, they're gone. I don't even think I've ever seen one of their boards in a catalog back in the day. No idea what they looked like. Just remember wide pants, flat shoes, and Jeremy Ray skating to the theme from Northern Exposure, which was so dumb.
But as far as Markovich goes, like it's kind of like a slapboard meme, like how many different board sponsors he's had. But he had a run there for about 10 or 12 years where he was like just putting out footage like nobody's business. Like he was on GNS, then he was on 101, a video part there, Color, then Prime for a few years. That was actually pretty long. And then Element. And then like the audio video. And then I guess in the Foundation
R bars.
Yeah. I mean, he had a run there for like 10 or so years where he just kept like reinventing himself over and over again. But he stayed relevant and just kept pumping out footage. So she might have had a bunch of different sponsors, but like he had a hell of a run.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's all those parts hold up. I mean, the fact that he was doing big shit and doing it clean. And skating to EPMD in what was it, Fight Fire with Fire? So then like his Element parts, oh phenomenal. But I mean you're right, like at some point it's like one move too many and then people start looking at you sideways. So then, you know, thinking about this from a team perspective, when is it appropriate to poach, if ever?
I mean, I think because skateboarding is an individual activity and the teams like matter only a little bit, I think that if somebody's not happy, I think it's fine to poach. I know that there was like some hurt feelings about, did Stevie go to Seek for a second? Like leave Chocolate to go to Seek? Is that what happened?
Oh, it was, I don't think that ever really happened. I think it was like in the works or something, but yeah, I don't think that ever really happened.
Yeah, I couldn't quite put my finger on it, I don't know. I think that it just like skateboarding is an individual thing. So if, you know, a rider wants to make the switch, then that's up to them. And I don't know. I don't think you want somebody on your team who doesn't want to be there.
Yeah. Just like in the NBA, like if someone doesn't want to be there, probably want to trade them.
Yeah.
No one's like demanding a trade in skating. That would be pretty funny.
Except for Keelan Dad.
I demand a trade.
I mean, okay.
I demand the new sponsor, but like, I don't know, skateboarding, I don't know, it's kind of like the Wild Wild West. I mean, but one thing that has been a trend or that you've seen, through the years is that people pretty much want to be where their friends are at, and like someone's friends are on one team. Chances are, as soon as they get a chance, they're going to go over there.
I mean, it just makes for a good brand narrative, we're all friends. We skate together. We're into this look. It just makes sense,
Absolutely.
I mean, you could say that about Antihero. That's like a certain look. They got a certain kind of guy. And, Victor Pellegrin is their latest pro. Jason, do you think you could hang in the Antihero van?
I was thinking about this. I like to wear Kelly Green. I like the Kelly Green t-shirts. I think if I had a bunch of non-alcoholic beers, I think I would be all right. I ride Ventures, though. I don't know, would they even let you in the van with Ventures? But I was thinking that before, but then I saw Nick Matthews rides for Ventures. So I think it's okay now. I think you can ride Ventures on Antihero.
It's a deluxe brand. Like, I think it'd be.
Yeah. They're made at Irmico. It's fine. You can skate bowls with them. Ventures turn good, y'all. Like, give them a shot in your local bowl. They're cool. I got no reason to lie.
I actually really enjoyed this edit. I really like Antihero tour videos. I tried to figure out where that restaurant is in the very beginning. There's a woman who's screaming at everybody to stop skating the sculpture in front of this restaurant in Wolverhampton. At least that's what I think it is. Anyway, I like the fact that they go camping. There's usually fires or campfires that are being lit. And the music is usually pretty good in all of their edits, too. Shout out to Chris Fanner, who I think is also team manager for Vans Europe. And on a recent tour, I think last year or the year before, brought his mother along. And she hung out with the team, cooked for everybody. And it seemed like it was like a really like a nice down-home thing. But I think there's somebody who deserves an extra huge shout out in this particular edit. And no, it's not Brian Anderson, even though he was in there killing it in Bristol. It's Frank. Frank Gower is the man. Frank Gower is AARP adjacent, and he is still ripping that front board at that huge ledge in Bristol. Dog. And then also, like, there's a little ledge that they're all skating where he does the nice pinched over crook. He can do it all. He really can do it all, you know? And he's on the grind at Deluxe, and he's still getting time to get out in the van with Antihero. I don't know. And also, what size wheels do you think everybody was riding on this trip? Because some of those streets looked rough.
I got to imagine nobody on Antihero other than Josh Matthews is riding anything smaller than like a 55, probably. Probably everybody's a little bit bigger than that. I mean, you got to go big in the UK, you know, like the ground's so rough. You don't want to be bumping around on little wheels.
And yet you look at... Oh, go on, Jason, please.
No, it looked like Dan was probably riding like 53s or something. Anything below 53 is like would be tough with the terrain there. But yeah, the cool thing about this video is I like the triangulating where they were in the UK from the accents. Like they're in Scotland, they had Scottish accent. Then they're kind of like in the north of England, got like the Mancunian accent. And then you're down in London with the kind of like regular London accent, so that was kind of cool.
Damn, I didn't pick up on the different accents. I don't watch a lot of videos without sound.
Whoa, what?
That's I mean, you know, reveal. Like you got a boring Zoom meeting, just pop open the laptop next to the work laptop and, you know, check the videos. I know it's a lesser experience to watch it without the music, but sometimes that's all my schedule will allow.
This video was filled with quotes that I think will be repeated all summer long. There's the old guy who's got the two poppies on his jacket, and you know, he's talking to a couple of folks. He's like, we're just a bunch of freaks. He's like, no, you're not a bunch of freaks. I have no idea where his accent was from. Certainly from up north, but you're not a bunch of freaks. You're just doing something that you love. And also there's like a random little skit in there where they're chilling out. They got a jam box, a little Bluetooth speaker. They're bumping Bobby Brown, Don't Be Cruel, which then ties to my prediction that somebody is going to drop an edit or a video filled with New Jack Swing. And I'm absolutely here for it.
Like some guy?
Yeah. Okay. Ralph Tresvant.
A little bit of Teddy Riley, Virginia native.
I mean, it's kind of an untapped resource.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Like, yeah. But this UK tour videos are funny because, like, they're so bleak. Like, that one place, that one DIY, like, ramp or bowl or whatever, like, in Leith, like, it was reminding me, like, they had the kids playing in the trash. It, like, reminded me of one of those, like, films or like newsreels of like kids playing in Northern Ireland and stuff, like amongst like the bombed out houses and shit.
Right.
So bleak.
Oh, I think it's the same DIY that you're talking about, which has somebody's stenciled caution needles.
Yeah, caution needles.
Like, that's dark. But then, you know, there's one part where they're in Edinburgh in Scotland and it's like we're at this DIY and it's a beautiful looking bowl.
Yeah, towards the end.
No, it's in the beginning. At the end, they're at Livingston, which is a very famous Scottish park. It's actually apparently super rough. I remember reading about it in an ancient issue of Thrasher. They did a Scotland trip. I think, this was fall, sometime during fall of 1996. I have it in my bookshelf over here. I think the Antihero needs to make the ultimate trip. Julian and company, if you're listening, you need to take the crew with the camping equipment, and some malaria pills. Y'all need to go to Uganda. I think they got the juice. I think that they can do it. I think they can hang at Mukono Park in Kampala. I know that they can find some wild street spots in the capital. I think that they could do it. What about y'all?
They're the team to do it for sure. I think that Antihero goes to Uganda would be like the cultural exchange we need. Some heartwarming shit. I think
they would be legends. They would be legends. Maders Apps went, I think, about 2 or 3 years ago. And the kids over there still talk about him to this day. Can you imagine if the anti-hero crew went to UG? And then also, Kampala has exceptional nightlife and it's very, very cheap.
Yeah, I was going to ask, what's the local alcohol? Because I'm, well, you know, that seems to be an anti-hero mainstay is alcoholism. So what are they getting sloshed on in Uganda?
So it's either going to be Bell Lager. Shout out to my late uncle who used to work at the brewery over in Jinja. Or Nile Special. Or is it Nile Special that their brewery is in Jinja? Anyway, those are the two big beer brands. And the big cigarette brand over there is Sportsman, who I used to hear radio commercials for back in the early 90s visiting. Although my late grandfather did not smoke Sportsman. He smoked Rex, RIP. But yeah, it's a party place. And then the local tipple that is actually really popular is called Waraji or War Gin. It was, I think, became quite popular during the Civil War between 79 and 86. And if you get it made the wrong, it's basically moonshine distilled from bananas. If you get a bad batch, the shit will make you go blind. Even the stuff that's actually well made. This is what happens when you don't have consumer protection laws. But something tells
that
me
that seems like what anti-hero is going to be going after. The
okay, we got to make it happen. Liquor. Like, just like come through with a pallet of boards. You know, get a hotel. You know, like splurge a little bit. I know y'all love camping, but I don't want anybody, an anti-hero, getting malaria. Although that would make for a great story. But back to this particular trip, like. Templeton, I know you've got an aversion to footage from parks. Has that softened a bit? Does like, do you make an exception for anti-hero tour videos?
Not really. I mean, like it can be tough for me watching an anti-hero video. You know, like there's that mini ramp section in the beginning that was like, could have been five tricks. I think a lot of times we're seeing a lot of setup tricks with the anti-hero crew. And I always think about vert skaters who, you know, they're doing a flip trick on every wall, how they must feel watching, you know, some of these guys. It's like, fuck, you're doing an eggplant. Like I learned that in 86 and, you know, nobody cares about my 8-foot kickflip indie or whatever. It's interesting how that's shaken out.
Yeah, but it seems just, like.
Oh, go ahead, Jason.
Oh, yeah. It seems like that's their niche, like doing like Kevin Staub or whatever vert tricks and like without pads and big ass concrete bowls and shit, which is kind of cool. Like, it's definitely gnarly.
I mean, it is cooler than, you know, an 8-foot kickflip indie. Like, that just doesn't look that cool, I guess. But I just think of somebody like Bucky Lasik or something, and how you could probably say he's much more skilled than some of these guys, but has nowhere near the impact as anti-hero skaters do. You know, he's just like off in his own little world.
Yeah, Vert is it's pretty niche. Like, but I mean, Jimmy Wilkins got real recently, which I think was a big step as far as real vert skating coming back or being a thing.
And he's the man.
Yeah, forget about it.
Harry Lintel. I love that dude. I love his tattoo stories. I think he lived in Texas for a little bit before going back to Manchester, which is where he's from. It seems like he'd be a great dude to just be in the van. And it looks like, just looking at the footage that they have in there of them in the van and the jokes, it's like, a nice 2-hour break for sandwiches, ha ha. It looks like that'd be a very fun van, but it's also, I don't think I could hang. Didn't, back in the day, wasn't there somebody who got kicked off Anti-Hero or kicked off a tour because he was ironing his t-shirts?
That was fucking, I think that might have been Curtis Calamonico, rest in peace.
Man, harsh. I think I could hang with the filth. You know, like, I have no problem with that. Like, I could wear the same clothes for the whole tour and everything. But, like, I don't know. I just need my space. And I just don't like loudness. And basically all the shit outside of skating, like, I think I would just need to go take a walk while those dudes handle that. And I think the van rides would be a lot for me. But it'd probably be worth it.
Headphones.
Yeah, just get some noise-canceling headphones.
Noise-canceling headphones?
I cancel the noise.
Yeah,
I can't imagine that will be respected. And that
you're off the team. Like
you're trying to cancel out me, motherfucker. Here's a beer for your head. You know.
Yeah, I don't know. Like with just watching the transition parts, I don't know. It's not my thing. Like my only reaction is like, man, it sure would be cool to be able to, you know, fly around like that. Like
it does look fun as shit.
Yeah, like that would be pretty awesome.
I mean, what a team. I see. Here's the thing. So. How long has Anti-Hero been around as a company? 93 or 94?
Yeah, I think four.
So is it really 30 years of Anti-Hero?
Yeah, man.
Oh my God. And it's also 30 years of Menace.
Got to do something for 30 years.
I mean, I think they should do a joint thing. 30 years of Menace, 30 years of Anti-Hero. I mean, like...
The ultimate collab.
Exactly. It'll be kind of like there's this famous picture of the former of it's from some World War One memorial in Belgium, and it's François Mitterrand, the then French president, and his German counterpart, was it Gerhard Schroeder, and they're walking holding hands across one of the bloodiest battlefields from the First World War to show that, you know, a lot of blood was spilled between France and Germany between 1648 and 1945. They went to war once a generation. And now they're the best of buddies. And, you know, they used to be like this. You think Hesh versus Fresh was manufactured? Was their actual beef?
I don't know. I mean, that was like slightly like I was skating then, but I wasn't really like in the scene.
Well, I mean,
hard to say.
Yeah, I mean, I was outside back then. It wasn't real beef. It was just funny because like those are the two predominant styles that were out there. You know, you had like your Anti-Hero or, you know, real or whatever. And then it was like Daewon. But Daewon could probably shred transition like as good or better than all those guys, you know.
I mean, I would love to see Daewon in the Anti-Hero van. He would blow minds, I think.
Definitely. Actually, that could be real cool. You know, how come, you know, kind of going back to our earlier discussion, how come we don't do stuff like in soccer, for example, or football rather, you know, you can put somebody out on loan for a season or half a season or however long. Why can't you put people on loan? Like, how ill would it be like, yo, Daewon's going to be on Anti-Hero on loan for a year or 2 years with an option to buy?
Yeah, that would be sick. The closest thing to that was like when people have guest models, I guess. Like, didn't cost another guest for a model on a weekend?
He did, yeah.
That's the closest thing I could think of to that.
I don't know.
Yeah, Daewon on Anti-Hero. I like this.
Because somebody posted a picture on Twitter today of Daewon and Fred Gall. That's a video I would love to see. That would be a great video. Then Fred Gall. Why is Fred Gall not an Anti-Hero?
I mean, I think he's just been loyal to Habitat for so long, you know. But he'd be a perfect addition.
I think like he's spiritually an Anti-Hero. He has the same outlook.
Yeah, I think that's right.
And he'd be down to go and hunt for some nasty, nasty, nasty spots. And I think that's the other thing that's always admirable about these Anti-Hero tour videos is that they're willing to do demos wherever. Some of the spots that they were skating in Scotland, for example, the ground is all types of rough. You're like, there was no need for this. And yet they're going at it. And also just like their creative eye, going back to that restaurant that they're skating in front of in Wolverhampton. That shit was cool as hell. And also, did you notice how that sculpture was wobbling when Homeboy did a frontside air on it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, things not super stable. But it's nothing for Grant Taylor to do a frontside ollie and something like that.
It's just, I mean, that's the thing. Like, that's their lane. They're sticking to it. They're phenomenal at it. And I don't know. Like, who are the other... Is there anybody else even really in this space? Like, would you say like a Creature or a Scarecrow would even come close or no?
Yeah, Creature.
I mean, Creature is like a sad comparison. You know, like I think Creature is, I don't know. Just they're just not out there doing it like that.
Although I saw somewhere, and this might not be current data, but I saw that Creature's board sales are huge.
Like I'm sure. Yeah.
Like they're one of the top selling brands.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this was a few years ago, so it might not be current data, but...
Like, top-selling as in people are buying these boards and skating them, or people are buying this stuff like Santa Cruz?
I think actual skateboards.
What?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Creature has the kind of graphics that when you're a kid going to a skate shop for the first time, you're going to be drawn to that. You know, compare Creature graphic to a Quasi graphic. You know, like, you're going to be drawn to the Swamp Monster over the, like, I don't know, abstract layout that is Quasi-Graphics.
Although,
that's a good point.
The new Tyler Bledsoe Stole My Catalytic Converter graphic is really funny. Shout out whoever designed that.
Okay, here's the other question. What is it about Anti-Hero and the over 30 crowd? I've never understood this. I remember last summer I was in New York for a week visiting family, and I stopped into KCDC to buy a board. You know, staff came to help and just like, hey, what's up, OG? What's up, old head? Blah, blah, blah. Get your Anti-Hero board off the wall. I was like, no.
I think Anti-Hero is like the safest brand you can get. You know, like nobody's going to look at you sideways riding an Anti-Hero board. if you think about all the pro skaters who are between sponsors, you see them riding anti-hero boards. You see them riding the Eagle. Like, I ride the Great Eagle. I've had probably 6 or 7 in a row. That's like all I ride, which I think is funny because anti-hero represents nothing that I'm into really except sarcasm. But like, I just love the Great Eagle. And I think that it's just the safest bet you can make. Like, I think that's where it is. It's like cool team, cool graphics, but not too weird, not too childish or anything. It's just like straight down the middle, good board to have. I think that's probably why it's got a hold on the old heads like me.
Because, you know, you see it in online catalogs and you see it in shops. It's always the best seller. Like, I would love to see what those numbers look like. Like, how many, you know, 30 plus and definitely 40 plus. You go to some curb spot or a DIY, at least. I remember, summer 2020, there was a DIY around the corner from my old apartment. And it was a one random day that I decided to just, like, pay attention to what boards everyone was riding. So it's all, and not even old, but, you know, everybody there was at least 30. It was all, remember that Real series with just like the big block letters, like Real on it in different color with the different colors, that or the Eagle. And that was it. And I was skating one of those block letter Real boards myself. So I don't know. And maybe your point, Templeton, is just like consistency. You like the shape, you know that you can buy, you know, you have a bunch of them on ice. If you're traveling, you just go cop one, you know, it's going to be good. You don't even have to stand on it on the shop. You could just point at it. You'll take it, bomb.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, you know what you're getting. Old Faithful, Great Eagle. I'll shout out one thing. I see a trend developing. The backside tail slide, shove it, backside tail. Dan Vanderlinden did it in this video. Blew my mind. And then today, I'm watching a Euro montage on Free Skate Mag. See somebody in the streets doing back tail, shove, back tail.
Ooh, so, what was that Euro montage?
It was MFT dash FAV.
Okay, I got that one. Yeah, all right, I'm gonna have to check that out. That sounds relevant to my interests.
Inez Fazliov, one of my favorite Euros in it, and a bunch of others. E2, it's a good one. It'll be linked in the show notes, of course. Any other standout tricks in this one?
Shout out Nick Matthews.
For sure. I don't think I saw one Nick Matthews skate park clip, which
no,
to me is very cool.
Now, what did he do? He did that, like, ollie over that pillar, like, switch heel, that little street gap.
Backside flip 180 nose grind, front blunt pop over.
Yeah, front blunt that one ledge. That was sick.
Fakie Hurricane, that rail, that famous UK rail.
The one with, like, the two sides, kind of?
Yeah, the double one.
They destroyed that fucking rail.
Yep. Oh, there's, like, a little sneak line in there of BA in Bristol.
Oh, yeah, so, beautiful. That switch tray.
Exceptional color blocking. BA still got it.
How do you flick a switch tray like that? I'm about to go try that this weekend.
Yeah. On the block, too. You know, like, there's not a lot of space up there.
And he's a big dude. So, I mean, just, like, his control. Damn. I would love to see some more footage from him. More anti-hero footage from him.
Yeah. I feel like we got lucky to get the one line. Actually, I think he had another trick in there, maybe. Big flip over a flat gap, maybe.
Yeah, that was him.
Well, always stoked on some Brian Anderson footage, which brings us to the end of our show where we talk about what we're stoked on. Jason, what are you stoked on this week?
Stoked on the aforementioned Venture Trucks out of San Francisco, California. Stoked on a little something from a friend of the pod, former guest of the pod, Ted Barrow, the latest episode of This Old Ledge featuring the NYC courthouse with the drop and the black hubba and all that stuff. I used to skate the one ledge kind of across the street on Worth Street right next door all the damn time. So that was pretty sick. Stoked on that. And stoked on the footage of one of my favorite skaters, Tom Snape. The guy is pretty much the best from New Zealand. He has a ton of footage in the latest video, Portions by Austin Bristow, and the new Sour tour video called Toxic Positivity. Yeah, that guy is pretty much the best. Patrick, what are you stoked on this week?
Stoked on Spitfire Wheels. Very stoked on a song that I played on a demo version of, but not on the final. It was called Dust by a band called Last Tide. It was my friend Nate's band from Washington, D.C. The new Avicen edit, Overland, that's really, really good. Also been catching up with a Scottish skateboarding podcast called Bored to Death. And last weekend, my wife and I built a shed from Costco. It took about 5.5 hours, and we took only a short break to watch Arsenal seize the number one position in the English Premier League. Shout out to the Gunners. But it was really fun, and now we've got more outdoor storage, and we could put paint and, you know, brooms and things like that, stuff that was taking up space in the garage. And oh yeah, when this episode goes live, it's going to be St. Patrick's Day. So to celebrate, read up on some Irish history, listen to some Micro Disney, or some My Bloody Valentine. Templeton, what are you stoked on this week?
I am stoked on better weather. Finally, the sun is finally out, and I think it's here to stay. Very stoked on that. Stoked to actually get out and skate outside. Also stoked on my cat Crawford's golden birthday today. He turns 14 on March 14th. He edits the podcast with me on Friday mornings, and he's 14 years old. He had some health issues this summer, and we kind of weren't sure if he'd make it. So grateful for Crawford every day, and especially today. So stoked on Crawford. That's it for our show this week. Be sure to check out mostlyskateboarding.net for links to things that we talked about and other show notes. Until next time, you can keep up with us all week online. Patrick, where can the people find you?
You can find me on Twitter under the handle @ColonelKSpeaks. You can also find me on Instagram under @PKigongo and doing stuff with the Harold Hunter Foundation. Jason, where can the people find you on the internet?
On the Instagram @FrozenCarbonite, on the Twitter @Carbonite1994, and writing stuff for Quartersnacks.com. Templeton, where can the people find you?
You can find me on Twitter @MostlySkate and on Instagram @MostlySkateboarding. We will see you guys next week.
Later.
Rap gardens, no joke on the lyric, sorry to be modest. I knew I was the man with the master plan to make it wiggle and jiggle like gelatin. Just think while I sing, and to the bring structure.
Don't sleep on the E.
You see, something might rupture. It don't take time for me to blow your mind. It take a second to wreck it because you dumb and blind. So just lounge, cause you an MC clown was on the circus. EPMD is in town.
Total chaos, no mass confusion. Rhyme so hypnotizing, known to cause an illusion. Like a magician, he draws a rabbit out of hat, son. I'm drawing more like a 44 Magnum. MC Free, stop looking, listen, and try to imagine. It's traveling the speed of light, but everything's motion is frightening. Plus the thought you alone, you now enter dimension called the Twilight Zone. You're terrified. Plus you can't bear the thought, you and I one on one. In the land of the lost, you start to shiver. Then you scream, my friend, you wake up monthly, because you're dreaming again. But next time I'm on the scene, do not try to distance. Keep your mouth so sucker jaw, because I'm strictly business.
This is the rap season, where the East starts pleasing. Girls around the world, no need to be skeezing. When I roll, I show cool, always pack a two just in case. My brother acts a fool, I got the energy to put the girls in the frenzy, put in shock when I rock. Giving up, I'm not stingy, make sure I don't bore when I'm on the dance floor.
Get busy, boy,
like you never saw before. One flow, good to go. After the show, I put your whole boy.
You sniff blow?
Hell no, have my whole life ahead of me. No time to be sniffing. My parents find out, then they start riffing. So I stay A-OK, cause I'm the E. The R-I-C-K.
MCs look me in my face, then the eyes get weak. Pulse rate descends, heart rate increases. It's like, beam me up, Scotty. I control your body, I'm as deadly as AIDS. When it's time to rock a party, in all due respect, when I say mic check, let a sucker slide once, then I break his neck. So when I say jump, you would bow high, because I'm taking no prisoners. So don't play hero and die, you're just a soldier. And I'm a Green Beret. I do not think twice about the MCs I slay. So if you want a battle, I highly recommend this. Bring your dog, mom and dad, because I'm strictly business.
Your mic is shot.
Strictly business.
Too cold because your mic is shot. Yo, you still picking on that 4-leaf clover, bringing the
the Sandman, sucker, because it's over. My name is Eric Sermon and I'm back again. I see the heads still turning in my so-called friends. They smile on my face, behind my back they talk trash, mad and stuff because they don't have cash. Like the E-double or the PMD. You drive the Corvette, I drive a Samurai Suzuki. I'm a locksmith with the key to fame. Never hide myself, always stay the same. Play a lot because I'm hot like a horse I trot. I ride the track and back. Fatigue? No, I'm not.
I'm the mellow, the fellow, the one who likes to say hello to a fly girl that is good to go. With the slow tempo and the offy rhyme flow. Cause when I am in action, there is no time for maxing or relaxing. Just reacting is detracting on a sucker MC who mouths keep on yapping and flapping. I lose my cool, then I start slapping and smacking. You on a roll, then I'll be starts jabbing and capping. No time to lounge, I'm packing and strapping. At my point of attack, I saw at you like an eagle. I'm the sheriff, and biting is illegal. So next time in town, I highly recommend this. You got to chill, because I'm strictly business. Hey, yo, you double, man, let them know what time it is. Yeah, I'm strictly business. You know what I'm saying? PMD, yo, word. PMD is in full effect.
Get too close, because your mic is shot.
Round.
Be the E-double-E, the place to be, every PMD.
Know what I mean? My homeboy Bernard on the scene.
Know what I'm saying? Mix the master, Charlie Chase.
Because your mic is shot.
Y'all, y'all can say peace to my homeboy Big Daddy Kane.
And Bismarck.
Because your mic is shot.